So again, safety, service, and strength. Pretty easy to remember and how I'm really focused on it.
I was just going to say something ridiculous, like I'm very aroused right now.
When he said oak, as soon as he said redwood, I heard Bean saying, I'm very aroused. Welcome to Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. I'm Maury Fontanez.
And I'm Melissa Grushka.
And today we have a special guest here to talk to us about masculinity. TJ Kelly is here with us. Bean, you ready?
Super masculine.
Hi, friends.
Hey, friend. Look at the team of us. This is the tech department.
I decided to invite my husband on the pod.
Which I think makes a lot of sense, don't you?
For sure, especially if we want to talk about positive masculinity. But let's first, hi TJ, welcome to the show.
Welcome, TJ.
Hi, ladies. Bean and Bean. I'm so excited to be here.
We're so excited to have you, even though my sound quality is bad.
It sounds great. You look great. You sound great. We're ready.
TJ's in a Bean sandwich. TJ, you know how this rolls. We like to start with a cringe and delight. We're going to let Melissa go first because I think everyone can hear her cringe.
My cringe is definitely, I don't know, my computer is bugging out. I don't even know how to fix it. It won't acknowledge my microphone. It won't acknowledge my headphones. It won't acknowledge me and my existence. It's like
That's so cruel.
I know. And it's bugging out, man. I don't even know how to fix it is my problem. Like,
It's okay. Did you have any other things you wanted to share before this happened when you thought about cringe delight to just let me know how your week is going?
I don't want to share how my week is going, but I do have a delight from last week, which was my little kids, my elementary school, my two little ones go to every month have this like kindness assembly, and each month they do it. I think they do it once a month. They nominate one kid from each grade who is like the epitome of their school and like follows all the rules and is like honorable and a good person and kind and follows all their pillars. And my little guy got it last week. I'm so proud of him. So he was like, the percentages were lower. He said something like that because there's only one kid out of 100 in the grade that gets picked each month.
He said like it was a shot, like a big deal.
Yeah, he was like, wow, because it's not likely that you get it. He didn't even tell me. His teacher emailed me and then he got off the bus and I'm like, anything you want to tell me? He was like, what?
Let's go, Remy. He is the kindest.
He is. He's a good boy.
So apropos for our topic today of kind men.
It totally is. I didn't even think of that. You, anything from you? You too?
Today, let's let our guest go. Babe, what do you have?
I had such a great delight this week. So Raina's driving. She's rolling around in her mom's car. And my little office, Quinn's bedroom thing here is kind of right against the driveway. And the other day I heard that, car come ripping in and the music is just cranked.
Wow.
Bass hitting. She's just living her best life in her freedom that also gives us a little freedom, which is amazing. But it was delightful just to you could tell she was the boss and just running her show. And it's just awesome to see. So that was delightful.
What was that movie with Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan from the 90s?
Oh,
they made a bunch of them.
Yes. God damn.
I remember
Rush Hour or something.
Rush Hour. My first car, I had the Rush Hour soundtrack or something. And I would the whole way around.
Now I need to know what's on the Rush Hour soundtrack.
Yeah, me too, because I don't remember either. But I remember liking it.
Rush Hour soundtrack has on it Can I Get A by Jay-Z.
That's right.
It better have my money, Ja Rule.
It better have my money, not right.
Your love, Drew Hill. Okay.
Right. You feel me. You feel that Rush Hour soundtrack.
I get why it was pumping.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. Oh, that is really cute, Teej. That's really cute.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's your delight. You're the best daddy. Well, my cringe is that I am just saying yes to anyone who wants to interview me about this book at all, like on the planet. And some of them are awesome, like truly. I just was on Getting Curious with Jonathan Van Ness, which was so
great.
Actually, you guys, I have to say, I coached Jonathan, but before I ever even met Jonathan and I decided to like do this career of wanting to be an author and, you know, like a personality around this concept of intuition, I had made a vision board and Getting Curious was on it.
No way. Like, you didn't say that. Wow.
I know. I know. Wow. I thought of it when the episode came out. I was like, oh.
Wow. What else was on that vision board?
What else is going to happen? Oprah's on there. You know Oprah's on there.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, but the cringy part is that sometimes I'm talking to people who are not Jonathan Van Ness, who are not, like, don't even know what I do or what the book is, because they're just, like, rolling guests through, which is fine. I went on one that was, like, such a, like, think of, like, an old school radio jockey, like, welcome to blah, 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 you know, like, that kind of, like, voice, and, like, everything I'd answer, he'd, like, ask his question, and he'd be like, that's true, freedom is important, now let's ask about your higher self, and then I'd answer the question, and he'd be like, wow, amazing, intuition is a good thing, and, like, it was so hard to just, like, be in the conversation, because I was like, is this a joke? Anyway.
104.5.
Yeah, 101.5. The greatest in the
smooth listening. Maybe our calling is radio jockeys.
I think so. All right. Well, listen, without much further ado, we have asked Mr. TJ Kelly here because Bean and I were hanging out here one time and Bean turned to me and said, wow, how is your husband so nice? And I said, let's talk to him about it. TJ, you're here to talk about masculinity.
masculinity, nice. No, all the things.
No, well, listen, you are one of the dudes that in, you know, groups of women always gets noticed and called out for the way that you approach manhood, the way that you approach relationships with women. And you have a lot to say about this as a coach and a mentor and someone who, you know, is really looking into like how you can bring this message to more men, particularly white men who suffer so sadly under the society that we've created today and all the pressure we put on you poor white men. I'm kidding. Why do you both look so
wait, but why do you, I was going to ask you, do you think this is chronic, more chronic in white men versus other men? I feel like toxic masculinity is like across the board.
Agree. Totally agree. So you're here to talk to us about toxic masculinity, about masculinity, and like hopefully give us a reframe for how we should, as women, expect men to show up in our lives, but also how we can support the right kind of, the healthy kind of masculinity in men.
Yeah.
So let's start with just asking you, like, what does it mean? What does masculinity mean to you?
Yeah, I think masculinity to me, it really comes down to like three things as I think about myself and how I like show up in the world, right? I think the first thing is about safety. It's creating a safe physical space, but it's also creating a safe emotional space for those around you. And so I think sometimes this safety notion just is about protection. Protection's part of it, but it's really about the physical safety and the emotional safety. And I think the emotional safety aspects of this become more and more important as you creep over into toxic masculinity and not being an emotionally safe place for your partner or for those around you. I think the second thing is about service, right? This is a no-brainer, but it's acting in service of others. And a critical step in this process is ultimately not sacrificing yourself, right? You can actively be in service of while not sacrificing yourself in the process and developing this passive aggressive environment that shows up with the honey-do lists and all of these things. I think service is a much broader thing and critically important. And then the last one is about strength, right? And it's about strength and being deeply rooted and balanced like a big redwood tree, right? You're deeply rooted in the ground, you're unwavering, And it's not just about the like strong physically. Yes, that's part of this, but it's about mentally being strong. It's about emotionally being strong. It's about spiritually being strong. And I think it's critical that strength isn't just associated with physical prowess and competition and all of those things. It's really about being in balance with yourself first so that you can show up for others that way. And it's really about, I think, in a nutshell, giving back and not just like taking from or trying to dominate in very specific ways. So again, safety, service, and strength. Pretty easy to remember and how I'm really focused on it.
Okay, wait, honestly, can I?
Yeah, go.
No, you don't.
I was just going to say something ridiculous. Like, I'm very aroused right now. I know.
When he said oak, when as soon as he said redwood, I heard Bean saying, I'm very aroused in my head.
Honestly, that was going on.
That was the moment, right? It was the moment when he
but
said
it was his much. Kindness. And I, in addition to me saying stupid things, like I am thoroughly aroused. I want to know, was your father like this? Is this the environment you grew up in? Like, how did you, was this ingrained in you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that like the strength part of it, absolutely ingrained in me, but teetering on stoic. And I think that men get labeled like this stoic environment or being stoic. And I think that can teeter on things like repression and not being emotionally available. So I don't want to confuse it with that, but yes, there was definitely that environment growing up as I looked up and admired my father for sure. He held strength and he holds that balance. But as any good older Irish man, he knows how to repress the shit out of things.
Oh. And
I didn't learn that until much later in life.
That's what I was getting at was, is this lack of toxic masculinity in you from childhood, from like the environment you grew up in, or is this something you've learned over the years?
Yeah, I think it's something I learned over the years. And I think it's really noticeable for me when I had my two sons. That was a turning point for me when I was like, how am I going to show up for these guys? And I had started to do some work on myself, right? And started to dabble in a little bit of therapy, a little bit of coaching and things like that. But it really showed up for me when I was looking at the relationship with my father and how I ultimately wanted to be in relationship with my two sons and really see if I couldn't break the cycle a little bit in showing more emotion and being more emotionally available to them.
I will say, though, I think that a lot of this is about nature, I think, versus nurture.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, you are a more connected being. You're one of the more spiritually connected men I've met. And I think that from just talking to you, like that was your experience of childhood too, you describe yourself as a highly sensitive being. Like,
yes.
Can we talk about what's that experience like being a highly sensitive boy in a environment, like in the 70s, 80s in a mountain town around masculinity?
It was tough being a highly sensitive, usually showed up in the form of like fighting off the neighborhood gang of brothers that would ultimately be in this hyper masculine environment and being out and about. And it really showed up primarily with my brother, right? Like we had the typical like adversarial relationship. We were close enough, but not so close that we were emotionally connected, right? And so there was a lot of shit taking in that environment growing up. And I found that I could only bottle it up for so long before the emotions really erupted and came out in that environment. And I would hold, and then usually just blow up in a total freak out, run for the nearest device that I could like protect myself with, and then chase my brother. So it was really calm in that environment until it was enough. And then it erupted into something that I didn't even know I had in me for a really long time, and it would erupt and come out, and it came out in a very unfortunate way for me as I look back at it, because that's not who I was as a highly sensitive. And so I would repress, and then explode. And it came out sideways. And I really didn't like that about myself.
What did it mean to be, like, what does it mean for you that you were a highly sensitive kid?
Highly sensitive kid was anything from physical environment, noises, sounds, anything loud, anything that ultimately, you know, touched my skin in a certain way, the tags in the t-shirts and all of that. And so my body was highly sensitized physically to noise, sound, physical touch, all of those things. And the chaos that was the 70s and 80s growing up in a mountain town, all of those feelings coming at me was quite overwhelming. Mm-hmm. It was overwhelming in the environment, in activity, in sports, in all of those things. And to counter that, I had to have like a strike first mentality, right? And some of my behaviors really showed a early onset of like toxic masculinity, right? So if instead of taking it on, I would lash out first. So that developed over time, where I had some behaviors that I would look back on now and be really upset with myself, because I was protecting myself by exhibiting these toxic masculine behaviors with a little bit of like bullying and a little bit of strike first mentality that I didn't love. And I really started to like feel into that. And it was even more overwhelming for me, but it was a protection mechanism as a highly sensitive.
So I think that shows, though, that there is some nature versus nurture there, because nature, you were kind and sweet, but you were in an environment where you didn't have the option or the safety net to be that way. So nurture ended up turning you toxically masculine.
Which I think is what happened. Like, I really do think that no boy is born toxically masculine. Like, it's conditioned into you. That's why I wanted you to talk about this highly sensitive thing, because I don't think men talk about it enough. And I think a lot of us are highly sensitive people, whether that's touch, like you're talking about, or emotion, or sensitive to energy, or whatever it might be. And like, I think women are allowed to talk about it more than men are. I think this whole podcast is two women talking about like sensing things that are unseen, and men just like, and immediately, by the way, we get categorized as a women's podcast, because it's two women talking about, you know, the unseen, talking about energy, talking about growth, talking about like self-awareness. And those are not things that men are allowed to talk about. And that's what I think
is a women's podcast.
Yeah. But like, that's what's toxic. So I want to ask you a question. The first thing you said in your three definitions of masculinity was about safety and emotional safety. What does it take for a man to create emotional safety?
I mean, it first starts with being emotional and allowing your emotions to come out, right? Mm. I mean, it was 4 years ago now, my mom passing.
Yeah.
I got super emotional about it, and I was trying to hold that emotion in, and you were like, you got to let it out. You have to show our kids that it's okay to do that, right? That was a critical moment for me much, much later in life to like actually show emotion, right? So if you're going to create a space of emotional safety, you have to be able to show emotion, feel supported in showing that emotion in order to get the emotion back in that environment, in that relationship. So it really starts with showing emotion and it being okay, right?
Yep.
But how much during that time was I fighting off the emotion, fighting off the grief, and, you know, trying, it's okay. Everything's okay. You know, it's okay. It's okay. And it wasn't. And that was a big turning point for me in understanding the emotional aspects of myself and starting to create that emotional safety for others to show them that it was okay to show their emotions as young men.
Oh, Bean, are you getting some emotion over there?
Oh, yeah. I'm just emotional these days. Everything everyone says, I'm like, okay, time to cry.
You know, I think that part of the emotional safety from my perspective as your partner is also not taking my process personally ever. It's rare for me to meet a man that doesn't put himself at the center of the universe, so that it's not about you, you know, that emotional safety from my perspective as a female partner is like, you're very okay understanding that I'm the main character sometimes, and sometimes you're the main character, and like, we can balance those things in this relationship, rather than, you know, if I come downstairs after a day of like sessions and interviews and meetings, and I am like fried cooked, like it's almost like you're intuitively immediately able to be like, I'm going to back up and make sure my needs are like met elsewhere right now. Like, I meet my own needs, rather than sometimes what I find with men is like, they've been trained to believe you are the center of her universe. So don't even tune into what the fuck is happening with her. Continue to expect. Like, one, do you agree with that? And two, how do you do that?
Yes, I agree with that. I think that whether it's male or female, masculine or feminine, like, we can all get caught up in our own thing and get caught up in our own emotions. But for me, it's really about pausing, taking a step back, assessing like the situation and the emotional state, right? We're all empaths to some extent. And if we like take a quick pause and like understand what's happening with the other person, especially when it's your partner, you can see and feel those emotions, right? And instead of making it about you and what you need in that moment or that time, you have to just take in the other person and try to feel what's ultimately happening with them. And that's critical. That's critical for us, especially in a really busy time right now. And, you know, you have to be able to sense those emotions, and you have to be able to, which is hard for me, not try to immediately get what I need out of that moment in time, that situation, whatever it is. So it's not about me taking it for myself. It's about me feeling into the emotion of it and meeting you where you're at that point in time.
Yep.
How do you shift that mentality in somebody who is so far along with the idea that supporting in that way is basically giving up their own power? Like, men find, would a lot of men I know would find that emasculating to say, oh, she's having a day. How do we shift the narrative in their own minds that like, that's not only is that not disempowering, it's almost like it makes you a stronger man.
Yeah. You're always stronger together in that environment, right? And so if I'm giving power to my partner in a situation, I can trust that that power comes back. And that power of our dynamic will lift us both up and really like create a whole different level of power together versus one of us individually. So I don't view it up. And do I have my moments in time where I am needing my needs to be met? Absolutely. My number one signal for identifying that is if I start to become passive aggressive. I start to drop little passive aggressive hints. And yes, there's a lot of nodding happening over there.
Did you cue him into that? Or was he aware of that?
I think that's a question for you. I mean, I am very sensitive to passive aggression.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a harm because it's a psychological harm, because it's positioned as so lovely. I mean, this is like very WASP culture from my perspective of like, I'm going to smile at you and say something that's demeaning, like, and smile. for me, that's harm because it makes you second guess yourself. Like, wait a minute, was that directed at me? But that seemed nice. So I'm really sensitive to it is a long way of saying it. So I think every time TJ does it, it sets off an alarm immediately for me.
Yeah. And critically important to that is you calling me on my shit.
Yeah.
And also at the same time asking what I need, right? So that's a signal for you that something's going on with me if I start making shitty little passive aggressive comments.
Well, I think the thing I'm interested in this word strength. So we talked about safety, but then you ended on strength. That's the word that I think sends us as a culture over the edge on masculinity.
Yeah.
How do you see strength being misrepresented in masculinity right now? Like, do you agree that that word is the problem? And like, what do you actually mean versus like, how is it being interpreted in our culture that's causing toxicity?
Yeah. I mean, look at what's happening with Trump and Elon Musk right now. Like, that's a direct portrayal of strength, right? This like super male, super masculine strength. And we will like overpower you. We will crush you. We will do all the things, right? And so I think that I want to take the word strength back and give it its like true meaning of being more about balance, right? And balance physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And so I think it's misconstrued as you must have power and you must exhibit that power over everyone. Doesn't matter who they are. And that's the environment we live in right now. And it sucks. I think that if you look at the landscape of that appeal of strength and power to especially younger men in the world today, like that freaks me out a little bit that it's being so embraced and what was hidden is now out in the open. That's toxic strength that's being displayed in a super messed up way.
So what do we do with that whole group of people, which is large?
You know, I think it's an overwhelming thing to fix. And I think at the end of the day, if we can really focus on ourselves and showing up in this really strong, deeply rooted and balanced way, and we can display that for others to see, that's a critical first step, right? And then the second is actually engaging with men in a different way, right? Mm-hmm. For men, the engagement can stay so surface level. Think about all the things that come up. Sports, right? What's the latest on the sports? What's the latest with your job? What's the latest with the kids? Like, what awesome things are they doing? What's the latest with your spouse? Like, it can stay at this really like surface level forever. And I am trying to make a point with my friends, mostly men, but also women as well, to just take it a deeper level and really take this concept of like, okay, if I can behave this way and I can slowly start to help others, my friends and those closest to me, behave this way, that's going to trickle down and that's going to trickle out and start to resonate, right? And I'm trying to think of the best way to do this with men in this environment today. And it's challenging. It's really, really challenging based on the environment we're in. But I think it really starts with a deeper level of engagement and this one-to-one connection. It's going to take longer, but hopefully it will take hold over time in that way.
What do you think in terms of women listening right now and wanting to cultivate or attract partners that can hold this level of safety, security? You know, by the way, there's a word you didn't say that I think enables all of this balance, which is confidence.
Yeah.
Because I think that insecurity, fundamental insecurity, is at the core of why something as resonant as strength can turn into dominance. something as resonant as safety can turn into like protection only, right? It's like this sense of I have to prove myself constantly. I have to prove my worth. So maybe actually I have a question before the other question, which is like, what's happening from your perspective that's making men so fundamentally insecure?
Wow. That is such a giant onion to peel back, right? Insecurity comes from a constant comparison to others, right? They're stronger, they're fitter, they're more successful, they got that job, I didn't get that job, they've got a great marriage and partner, and they've got these great kids. So insecurity comes from a constant comparison to others and what they have versus what I don't, right? And to get that they have, you have to compete, you have to perform, you have to dominate, you have to overwhelm. So I think it's deeply rooted in comparison to others and not looking at yourself. Like, how do you develop your own self-confidence to counter that insecurity? So I think it mainly comes from the comparison to others. We're in a constant state of comparison. It's everywhere for us right now.
Yeah.
Oh, well, my second question was for anyone who's listening that, you know, wants to attract a masculine partner, what should they be looking for? Like, what are the green flags? What are the red flags?
I think some of the green flags, and this is a really tough one in this environment, like green flags for me are you holding me accountable to my shit, but not just nagging at me, ultimately helping to understand what the issues are, what my insecurities are, right? So it comes from a deeper emotional understanding of me as a man trying to navigate this crazy world right now. And I think it shows up in holding me accountable, which is a really fine line. And it's something that you have to balance. If you can hold me accountable and give me a minute to really think about what I'm doing and how I'm acting and how I'm behaving, that really helps, right? And we have to be willing as men, as partners, to do that. But as a partner in a relationship, you have to hold me accountable to that. You can't just let me steamroll you. You can't just let me make it all about me. This can cause fights and can be, you know, a big issue inside of relationships, but it has to be done with accountability, and you have to start meeting that partner with some level of understanding, some level of compassion, but ultimately it comes to accountability.
So green flag is, can they be accountable? Can they handle being held accountable?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So red flag would be they cannot. So it sounds like what they're doing is like redirecting. Like, what would be the red flag?
The red flag in this is like domineering in the conversation in that moment in time and not having the capacity to hold the conversation, right? So if their reaction comes in the form of anger, comes in the form of dismissal, comes in the form of quickly moving past it so that there's not a moment of that accountability. So that's a big red flag. All of those are red flags.
I think this is particularly challenging too, because women are so taught to be quieter and allow for that space and give the men space. So it's like a really bad equation together. It becomes we're trained to behave more quietly. You should listen to our episode on the power of the power. And then men are trained to be dominant. And we're all like coming with these preconceived notions of what it means to show up as a woman or a man. And then it's like, we're almost making the cycle worse for each one of us.
100%. Listen to the power of no in this week's episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, this week where we're recording. Yes, we just came out with the power of no. This is, TJ is like our number one fan. I hear the podcast when he's showering. It's so sweet. I'm like, that's my voice in there. Tej, before we let you go, my love, I'm curious about how we as women can show up better to allow men the emotional safety to be the kind of balanced masculinity that is not insecure, that is not domineering, that is not about power. What can we be doing as women to cultivate that?
I guess it always comes back to what you're doing in service of us as men, which kind of sucks. But what I think that you can do is ultimately be compassionate, be understanding, but hold us accountable. And you have to figure out what works for you in the relationship that you're in to ultimately hold us accountable for the behaviors that we're exhibiting and the behaviors that are on display for everyone to see. And it's a really like tough balance, but you can show up and keep showing up, use the power of no, use some compassion, use some understanding and empathy in that environment, because the pressures that are on men in today's world are quite high. The expectations now in this environment are even higher, right? For this domination and the strength and all of these things. And so it's really important that you meet your partner with compassion and empathy, but you ultimately hold them accountable, and you have to figure out what works for you in that way. Like, we have our own dynamic where you hold me accountable, and it starts with just starting that and developing it over time and figuring out where you start.
Can I ask, in what way, being that you do hold, like, what does that look like really fast? Just as an example of how do you hold him accountable? Do you say like, you're being shit, or are you like, hey, what's up, bud? Like, how does that look?
I want to hear what resonates, TJ.
Yeah. So again, our number one signal for me needing something from you is passive aggressive comments. And for you, and I think we've worked on this over time, you're just like, you literally come from an emotionally available way to stop and pause and say, what do you need right now? Do you need my time? Like, what do you need in this moment? It's also came from a place of, I know this now about myself, right? So if she says, what do you need right now? That is the signal to me that I'm being a shit. And I'm being passive aggressive. And when she is meeting me with that compassion, that immediately drops my guard. And ultimately, I can have a conversation about what I particularly need in that. And most of the time, it's time and attention. And so that started, though, you know, way back when, in a little bit of a heated battle on her just saying, that's bullshit. You can't come at me that way.
Yeah, I think that's accountability. Like, for me, is just to say, hey, this behavior is demeaning, undermining, like hurtful, harmful to me. I think it's less about like making it about you or making you feel diminished, but just saying like, whatever it is you're doing, like, is making me feel this way. So I need you to go back to the drawing board. And then like, what do you really need? And just tell me how that, so I can give it to you.
So really tapping into your own awareness to then about what you feel like to then communicate that to him more effectively. Got it.
Yeah. Check. I think the other thing that I just want to say before we go about our relationship is, like, I think that you and I understand that masculine and feminine energies are not about gender.
Yes.
100%. And that we both embody a good deal of both. Things. Like, I have a lot of masculine energy in me, right?
Yeah.
And that is something you can hold because you have feminine energy in you. Feminine energy being one of like, of nurturing, of abundance, of like, of collaboration, of like, hey, come here, we can all do this together. I can have a masculine energy of like being individualistic sometimes, of like being very like an arrow needing to go forward momentum wise. So like, we can balance each other out because we have degendered these words, masculine and feminine. Would you agree?
Yeah. No, I agree 100%. And I'm so glad that you brought it up, because I think understanding that as a man is critically important that we're all made up of these energies that come out in different situations. And if you can understand that particular thing about yourself as a man and be okay with it, right? That's the biggest challenge, is like, I'm filled with a ton of feminine energy in that way of nurturing. And it took me a long time to realize that. And that's okay. It doesn't make you less of a man. It doesn't make you less of anything. It actually makes you way more powerful.
Yeah.
If you can tap into both sides of the masculine and feminine energy.
I will say that there's so many things that make me proud of you, but one of the biggest sources of pride for me is that, you know, I have a lot of queer and trans and non-binary friends. Like, they're like my family. And they have a lot of really negative, traumatic experiences with straight men and straight white men. And they, before meeting you, like, there's this trepidation that I could sense. And to hear over and over again from these friends of mine, like, how safe you are, how much they feel like you are healing a part of that trauma by just being around you. Like, that makes me so proud to be your wife, because we need men to show up like this right now to heal the division that's happening, to heal this fear that's being projected on us, that we should be afraid of people who don't look like us or sound like us or want what we want. Like, that you can just hold it down and make people feel whole is really incredible.
Oh. Well, thanks, I appreciate you saying that. They're family and amazing, amazing, amazing people that have taught me so much about myself. And it is such a, it has been such an amazing experience for me. So I really appreciate you saying that.
All right, Bean, any last thing to say?
Just thank you so much for showing up in this way, especially being married to my best friend. If I had to choose anybody, it would be you, because I need, she needs this energy. We all need this energy, to be totally honest. And we all deserve it.
We all deserve it. Honey, thank you for joining us. That was really awesome. We love you. We appreciate all your support. May everyone find a partner, or anyone in their lives that can just show up as their higher self, so that you can be your higher self. I think that's the whole point. So thanks for joining, Bean. That was another fun conversation. Guys, thank you for listening. Please do share this episode if you found it at all enlightening or something that you loved. And we'll be back again next week with another episode of Signal. See you then. Bye.
Bye.
This has been another episode of Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. This podcast is co-hosted and produced by myself, Maury Fontanez, and Melissa Bushka, and is edited by our sound editor, Josie Barak. Stay tuned next week for another episode.